Hi everyone, this is Karan.
And I'm Yashasvi.
And we are Bad and Bollywood.
And this week we did Rockstar or Jab We Met or Love Aajkal. It doesn't make a fucking difference because it's all the same movie. Yeah. And we have a very special guest on. Her name is Sejal. She has a very funny Instagram page. Sejal, please tell us all about it.
What's up, guys? So basically, I run this page on Instagram. It's called Trash Film Club. You can check it out. I'm sorry for plugging in.
This is specifically for the plug.
Yes. Go ahead. Yeah. Plug away.
Yeah. So basically, my page it shits on Bollywood, like as if it's something super new. But yeah, never mind. So yeah, today we are going to talk about my favorite film of all time. Amazing.
It's called Tamasha.
It's called Tamasha. I love it.
I got introduced to your page pretty recently, and I was kind of scrolling through the posts, and if I'm not wrong, your first post is about Tamasha, like your first ever post?
Yeah, my first post is about Tamasha.
So that's special. Because, so what is your...
Yeah, so it is about Tamasha because the reason why I started this page particularly was because I was getting like too many posts from these like really obnoxious film pages, and all of them would talk about Tamasha's scenes and whatever details, and it got like so annoying because it's not a film that you should look up to, like if you observe it very closely. So that's why like I just decided to go with it, and it just sort of like fucking blew up. I don't know.
Makes sense.
So, did you watch this movie in theaters, or what was your like personal experience with this movie?
I didn't watch it in theater, but like my friend went for it, and she was like, "Oh, you should watch it." And honestly, like on the first go, I liked it. I was like, "Oh, this is so different. Mm. This is so cool. I love it." But then, like, I guess it didn't age well.
Oh, that sounds familiar, Karan. Oh, can you tell me what happened when we rewatched it, Karan?
Oh no. Okay, so just to give you some context, Sejal, this movie, I should inform the listeners of this also, because I don't want to like lie and say that I always hated this movie, because that's not true at all. The first time I saw this movie, I had just come back from the US, and it was like on winter break. I was on. I had just landed like the day before. I was jet lagged. I went in to watch this movie at 11 in the morning. It was me and like Tamasha had flopped pretty badly, right? Like,
yeah.
Barely anyone went to see it. Yeah. And like, it was me and this other dude just in the theater, like on different corner. It was just me because no one else was awake. And I remember I cried watching this movie. I was very emotionally affected by this movie because at the time I was doing chemical engineering, and I didn't want to do chemical engineering. And so I was like, I am feeling exactly like this dude is feeling, and that's why this is the best movie. But yeah, on rewatch, it has not aged. I mean, not even aged. It's been 5 years. But like, I think I connected very hard with the whole like follow your dreams part of this movie, but I think I overlooked a lot of the mental health and how to be in a toxic relationship stuff.
So. Yeah. See, all I'm saying is that there are different ways to follow your dreams. You don't have to like go whatever way Wade went through. Like that was just insane. You know, like even the first time when I watched it, like the whole, they have packaged that film in a way that I think it pleases you. Like even if somebody watches it for the first time today, they might not see these things in as much of a detail as they would on a rewatch probably, because like it's all very beautiful, like cinematically, and the whole like packaging of the film, it's like a 3-4 minute song, right? Which caters to storytelling. So all of that is very beautiful, like the purely like the cinematic aspects of the film, they're very beautiful.
Yeah.
But the plot is so rotten, it's insane.
Yeah, oh boy.
Imtiaz has this thing, right, that he tries to package this leave your job and follow your dreams. Like, where do you think, what kind of message is he trying to send every time he does this? Because he's done this in literally every movie he's had.
Yeah. Yeah, he does do that. Imtiaz is weird because, like, I think he... So he made one movie. He made Jab We Met. And he was like, oh, tortured boy meets girl that fixes his life. The movie, right? So he made it once. And everyone was like, oh, that's a good movie. I like that movie. He was like, I'm going to keep making this forever. Over and over and over. In different, like, avatars. It's weird.
Yeah, I haven't seen the latest one, like Love Aajkal 2.
It's on the exact line, but this time you have a fever and you can't wake up from like this horrible sleep. So everything just mishmashes together in slow motion.
Yeah.
And you just wish you were dead by the end of it. That's what. And you're very lucky you haven't watched Love Aajkal 2.
Yeah, Love Aajkal is... Yeah. It's not even Love Aajkal 2, guys. It's not Love Aajkal 2. It is just Love Aajkal, which makes no sense because you already made Love Aajkal. So how can you make two Love Aajkals and call it the same thing? That's even lazier. At least call it two. At least.
I find his style quite lazy. Like, I think I figured this probably like 2 years back or something. But I even if you piece all his work together, no, you can see through it. And it's not like he's not capable of doing good work or anything. Like, no one is discounting him for that. But it's just so lazy. Like, and even his way of talking about his work is like very patronizing. So I remember I read this one interview where somebody had asked him that why are your all like your women characters so flawed, and he was just defending himself to I don't know what extent, and it was just so annoying. Like shut up, just shut up, like let her talk. Like he just kept on talking over and over again, and it was just very annoying. So that's when like I just sort of chose a decision, like chose to like sort of like keep myself away from whatever his work is. It's very annoying.
I mean, his characters in this also are flawed. Like, so I went into this movie expecting it to be like, oh, gonna be like abusive boy, you know, like, which is a typical like thing where Ranbir Kapoor's played this character a lot. Like, you know, the sad boy who's very angsty and that kind of thing. So I thought like this movie would have mainly that. But I also think like Deepika in this is also pretty unlikable. Like they're both equally... I think not equally maybe, but they're both fucked up in different ways, and it was like they both... I don't root for either of them in this movie, which...
But that's the thing he tries to push, right? He tries to push this thing where you have two flawed individuals and together they come to make a whole because fuck therapy.
So yeah.
His whole shtick is fuck therapy because it's... I thought it was just subtext in the movie, but when I looked at the Wikipedia page, it's very clearly stated that he has BPD, borderline personality disorder, and instead of going for therapy, he just... Like Deepika's going
to fix me, right?
Why go to therapy? Just go to Babaji and go and meet girl, and girl will fix all your problems, even if it causes her emotional damage. That's fine.
An enlightened, self-proclaimed enlightened filmmaker who tries to draw, according to him, tries to draw from like Rumi and other poets, because he has this thing where he keeps quoting these different poets and these different books he probably half read when he was asleep. And he has this running theme throughout his movies.
Yeah.
And just the idea is so regressive.
It really
is. You know what? I feel Imtiaz Ali is just like a 14-year-old sad boy. That's all he is.
Yeah.
Like he pretends he likes to think of himself as a deep thinker. Oh, I quote Rumi. And it's just like, what? Who are you? You're not fooling anyone now.
Yeah. He has the he has the depth of a WhatsApp forward. That's what.
That's what he does. But the most ridiculous part of the film was probably like Ranbir Kapoor going to a Babaji and not to like a psychiatrist. What?
But speaking of lack of depth, Ranbir Kapoor is the protagonist, right?
Yeah.
And we have this fucking 15-minute long introduction, the 15-minute credit scene.
Dude, so long.
In which there's the Baba who's telling the story and simultaneously there's Ranbir Kapoor telling you should leave your job.
Yeah.
And it's always like, oh, everyone who does a 9-to-5 or everyone who's in an office is just this sad robot and they're stuck in a race. And this was a huge trope back then also, right? Like, leave your job, follow your dreams and shit like that. And he's just... he's not telling you to follow your dreams so much as shitting on you for like, oh, you have a job?
Yeah.
Fuck you. You piece of shit.
That's what like Wake Up Sid was all about.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I am so different. I'm not going to do this job. I'm not going to wear a tie. And it's just, it's so superficial and like, it's absolute like lazy writing.
Yeah.
I may put it that way. But I think back then, like, even when like Wake Up Sid had come out, or even if we talk about Tamasha, this whole thing was a very popular theme in across Bollywood films about the, oh, go follow your passion. But they don't tell you about like a lot of things that come with following your passion, and it's just so misleading.
Yeah, exactly. And like the thing is like, it, Ranbir Kapoor kind of became the face of that movement. Like, the Follow Your Passion movies was like Ranbir Kapoor from Wake Up Sid to Ye Jawani Hai Diwani to Tamasha. All movies that I have liked, by the way. So clearly Ranbir Kapoor, at that time in my life, I was like, yeah, this is totally how life is. Even though this, the crucial thing that all of these movies is missing is they don't acknowledge the privilege that you have to be able to do that. Like, it's seriously just like discounts privilege. Like, some people need to work to earn daily income. Like, not everyone is afforded that luxury where, oh, okay, I guess I'll just follow my passion now. That's cool. Anyway.
But this first sequence in after the introduction in Corsica is the basis of what their relationship is supposed to be, right?
Mm.
And what the basis of their relationship is supposed to be is like a cross between TikTok and Instagram.
This was unwatchable, dude. Unwatchable. Oh. This whole Corsica thing, I don't know. Sejal, what do you think about it?
It was so cringy. Like, even when the whole bit where they enact, I don't know what the fuck were they trying to do, but it was quite unbearable.
No.
That was exhausting to watch, let alone like being like that 24/7 with someone.
Yeah, that's what I don't get, right? Like, is this a fun vacation? Because you are in character all day. I'd be so tired. I'd be like, hey, mere ko ghar jaane ka abhi. Abhi bahut ho gaya. I can't keep doing this. It's pretty ridiculous.
I don't even know what was the point of, like, what point were they trying to prove? There was no, like, I don't know. It could be that I don't remember the point exactly, but it was quite, maybe I missed out on it. But
I think that was like, Imtiaz trying to be, like, funny and relatable, because he's none of those things. But that was him trying.
I think it's actually exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah, like, when you really think about it, that whole thing had no point. Like, I mean, you can't do anything to just be, like, quirky or whatever. It's absolute BS.
Yeah. the quirky is the exact word, I think, that he was trying to go for. Like, look at these interesting
characters. Oh, I'll relate to the youth if I do this.
I relate to the youth has been what he's been trying to do for, like, years now, and it's not worked.
It has not worked at all. Like, I remember seeing the trailer of like Love Actually 2, and it was just so cringy. It felt like he gave the script to like a 13-year-old school boy and just be like, okay, write whatever. Oh my god. Even in that trailer, I could figure out that even the actors, they are not doing jack shit. Like, it was quite something to watch.
Yeah.
And then when you think about it, like, so many people look up to this man who has like no sense of responsibility whatsoever, and it's quite sad. Like, when you really think about it, I don't remember Rockstar either, but I do remember throughout it. Yeah,
Rockstar was the bare minimum in acting from at least Nargis's side. I mean, Ranbir still tries to come across as this relatable sad boy. Which, honestly, even he's tired of, apparently, as from what I've seen in interviews. He's just like,
he said in some interview, he was like, I there's only so many weddings I can leave crying because a girl won't be with me in movies. Like,
but he played a sad boy in a fucking biopic. Like, that's so extreme. Like, how do you make a biopic and play the same character? Like, it's insane.
Yeah, but as far as the movie is going, you're supposed to like and relate to these characters in this whole Corsica sequence, which is full of these fucking Bollywood tropes that I hate. Mm-hmm. One of which is, teaching people in different countries Hindi swear words or calling them stuff like that.
So
I'm, I hate that trope.
They
so
did
much
that in Zindagi done, also. They did that in Zindagi.
Dude, it's been done since the 80s. And they keep doing this again and again, hoping that it's going to be funny. But it never is. It's just sad.
You just come across as an asshole. Like, you're just like, you know, you're putting out...
You can't speak in Hindi. So yeah, funny. Like that's
you can't
the
speak
point.
In French, like, or Spanish or whatever. Like, why does it matter? It's so stupid.
Oh, dude, speaking of Spanish, the accents that they were doing?
Oh, no. Oh, God. Dude, I don't want to, like, skip to the end, but the closing sequence is Deepika doing a Chinese accent or whatever that was. And I was like, dude, how did they get away with this? This is the most racist fucking shit I've ever seen. And Deepika's doing it. This is 2015. You can't even say like, oh, 90s mein tha, you know. Can't even say that shit. This is like 5 years ago. So, yeah.
Oh, it's in that during that play sequence.
Yeah, the play sequence as well as they have the scene in the restaurant where he's saying that Deepika's a famous actor and she's speaking Spanish accent and he's speaking in an Italian accent. Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Like, that's the thing. I remember even when I first saw it, Tamasha does have this feeling, like you mentioned, Sejal, where because it ends on such a like, I found my dreams high. I think people forget the beginning of this movie. Because like if for 30 minutes someone just was talking in character, before which there was a 15-minute introduction, nothing has happened and almost an hour has passed. You know?
Yeah.
So like what are we gonna latch on to? You know, it's fucking impossible. But yeah, I guess they do the sex and then she leaves him. That's how Corsica ends. And then she looks for him for like, I don't know,
three years.
Oh, okay.
That sequence is like so insane when you think about it. Like, it's not, I don't think like, was I supposed to find it cute? Because I just found it stalkerish.
It was.
Like, you don't stalk someone you just randomly met 3 years back and then. I don't know, it was quite stalkerish. And then she just shows up and he's with his friends. Like, I would have freaked out. Honestly.
Yeah. Justifiably so, because this is the beginning of, like, some problematic behavior on Deepika's part.
Yeah.
And my theory is that Imtiaz wrote this thing with the genders reversed. And then, like, at the end, he did a switcheroo. So, like, the thing that you see in a lot of Bollywood males in the 2000s and the 90s and even now is this stalkerish, abusive behavior. And suddenly it switched and like Deepika's the one who's doing this. So that's my theory at least.
Yeah, I think that's accurate actually.
So basically Imtiaz Ali's thought behind this was, oh, the problem will get resolved if I switch the gender role. That's what
yeah.
Oh my God, that's just...
It's like if I switch it towards progressive, bro.
That's not the problem.
Stop showing toxic relationships and painting them as romantic. Imtiaz, please.
It never even occurred to me, you know, like, it just occurred to me right now when I was recollecting the film and I was like, yeah, she stalks him. She stalks him and she tracks him down. It's just so... if we keep Ranbir Kapoor aside for now, like, and we just talk about Deepika, like, why would you just randomly stalk someone and just try to, like, how do you know that they don't have a whole different life yet? They could be out there living their life and you're just trying to, I don't know, establish what by showing up in a cafe and be like, hey, sup, we met 3 years back.
मैडम जी आप समझ नहीं रहे हो मैडम जी सच्चा प्यार
सच्चा okay, सच्चा प्यार, प्यार सिर्फ एक बार होता है बार बार नहीं होता सो देन व्हेन यू मीट समवन इन कॉर्सिका यू विल हंट देम डाउन यू विल फाइंड देम इन अ स्मेली लुकिंग सोशल एंड देन यू विल फॉल इन लव विद देम इवन इफ दे हैव अ कंप्लीटली डिफरेंट लाइफ एंड देन शी इज सरप्राइज्ड एंड देन शी हैज द लवली सरप्राइज्ड शी इज लाइक ओ तुम डिफरेंट हो या ही वाज डॉन इन कॉर्सिका डिड यू थिंक ही'd बी डॉन इन रियल लाइफ What did you think that you were going to show up and he'd be like, yeah, bro, I'm totally hiding from the cops right now. What?
Okay, so basically she was equally psychotic.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's the point, right? Because they're both mentally ill and they both won't go to therapy because they both found each other.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I think now would be a good time to bring up the Tamasha fandom, because it does have this kind of cult following where everyone's like,
I started this movie. I started the fan page. I'm sorry, guys.
You started the fan page.
Yeah, it's my fault. Yeah,
but
it's my fault.
No, I didn't.
No, he didn't. For our viewers, that was a joke. He did not start the Tamasha fan.
I will say, like, so I've kind of been scrolling through, like, a lot of the music videos, because I love the music in this movie, actually. You just scroll down the comment section, and it is like the most elitist bullshit that you'll read, because there'll be people like, oh, I judge people based on Tamasha, bro. Like, if they don't like Tamasha, like, they don't have class, you know? And there's a lot of comments like that. That are just like, if you don't like Tamasha, you don't know what true cinema is. Which
this scene broke my heart. It's always that, like, that one scene where both of them cry in social.
Oh no!
Oh yeah, oh, crying at a social is somehow like, that's your idea of, like, the ultimate romance. Crying at social in Delhi.
I did feel bad for both of them in this scene, because I know I've watched enough Imtiaz movies now to know, like, what he was trying to portray. And I just know that he told them, just feel karo, you know? Just feel the emotion. Just and I know, because they're talking about how this scene was improvised. And that must have been brutal.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Yeah, like, that's actually quite sadistic thing for, like, a director to do. Like, just, hey, I know that you two have a history and your ex is, so basically just cry. Like, that's quite sadistic, because I know that I've read it in interviews where he said that, oh, basically they were just feeling emotions from their past. And I was like, why would you do that?
That means you're a bad director.
Yeah, you're a bad director.
Your story is not strong enough that you can draw emotions from the characters. You need to go to real life and try to find it there. Oh, God. Yeah, that scene is horrible. But one of the things I did like about this movie, I will say, is I enjoyed, like, the montages in general, like the way he shot them. I think he's pretty good at he's good at montages. He's not good at, like, dialogue. So if there's no dialogue happening,
he will not have dialogues in his film.
Yeah,
just nobody should talk.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I want to circle this back to what you said earlier about you finding these Instagram pages where they're just, like, really obnoxious bullshit. You know, those filters on the movie scenes with the typing, the subtitles.
Oh, God. So cringy, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have these pages that keep doing that, and Tamasha 2015. And then they have some long bullshit quote about how it relates to their life. I mean, that's me being an asshole in general, because you can, you know, find comfort in some movies. And Tamasha did do it for some people. So
Some people, Yashasvi. Some people in 2015 were crying in an empty theater. Okay. Don't do that. No, I'm kidding. I don't know where I was, why I was doing that.
but yeah, this is one of the Instagrammable movies of...
Yeah.
I would say.
It's a very Instagrammable movie, yeah. Even Makeup Fit, for that matter.
Yeah.
The message that these pages took away from Makeup Fit was, oh, they save each other. No, the fuck they don't. She was just trying to get rid of him.
She had to support him financially for, like, months.
Yeah.
In Bombay, where she had just moved and she had just got a job and rent is really high.
And this guy's some rich fuck who got thrown out of his house.
It's because Ayan Mukherjee, like the director of Wake Up Sid, kind of has lived in that bubble, I think. And he thought, like, this is what love is. And no, it's not.
Love, according to a lot of these directors, is please adopt this man-child, please.
Yeah. Man, even in Aadil Hai Mushkil, Ranbir does that with Aishwarya, right? I mean, Aishwarya does that with Ranbir, where... he's a man-child, and where Yashasvi, you haven't seen Aadil Hai Mushkil, right?
Aishwarya Rai in that movie?
Yeah, Aishwarya Rai in that movie.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. And she's like, this man-child is my man-child.
Yeah. And she's literally his mom's age. I'm not judging, but what?
Yeah. Wow.
But, like, I think with Sanju, a lot of people were trying to, or at least were hoping that, okay, maybe Ranbir Kapoor will break his character this time. But no.
Yeah. He didn't.
One more man-child.
Which is so weird, because Sanjay Dutt was this hyper-masculine action hero in the 90s and 2000s. And how did you manage to Ranbir Kapoor that? Like, how?
I think because they were trying to show that Sanjay Dutt has depth. Sorry.
Yeah. I think that's precisely why they would have went ahead with Ranbir Kapoor, because they knew that, you know, he can pull this off.
I mean, I don't want to speak in defense of Ranbir Kapoor because almost no one should, but I think that I think that he's like a decent actor. I just think that it's like, for example, with Shah Rukh Khan, I remember in the 90s, we've been watching some Shah Rukh Khan movies, and there's like 2-3 things that Shah Rukh's really good at, like 2-3 expressions that he's really good at. And I feel like Ranbir found his very early on and he was like, I'm just going to stick to these. And like this role, and this is fine.
But you know what? If you would ask me, I would say that Ranbir Kapoor is definitely a better actor than Shah Rukh Khan.
I agree.
I have no idea what scam he has pulled off, but fucking great. He has made millions of it. So all respect in the world to him. It's a scam.
We just watched Rawan. We did an episode on Rawan.
Oh my god.
And
Rawan was unwatchable.
Yeah.
Unwatchable.
Yeah, truly. I mean, like, I think Tamasha was at least shorter, so it got over quickly, which is what I'll say in praise of Tamasha over Rawan. But yeah, I mean, plot-wise, where are we? Are we in his office phase?
Yeah, no, she's back. She's back and she finds Ranbir after stalking him.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to show like this switch in Ranbir's behavior by very obviously making him like this corporate robot where he talks like only in business lingo. And I'm not saying there aren't people who are like very straight-laced and like super into their office stuff, but like it's almost like he's doing a parody.
Yeah.
Which is why I was like, this is not believable.
Oh my god, exactly. Like, you know, like that's exactly what I felt. Like, okay, I get it. Like a lot of people, they had their own passions in college, but they had to settle for jobs, but nobody becomes like this.
Yeah.
Like no one becomes so dead. So like, please, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, most of his films are, like, really lazy and shallow in terms of, like, research. Like, I am pretty sure that Imtiaz Ali has not met a single person who works in an IT job. And this is just his idea of a person who works in an IT job. And, yeah, this is basically it.
At its core, I think it could have been a good story in the sense, like, a guy, you know, struggling with his BPD. And just him coming to terms with it, and the girl that, I mean, Deepika coming to terms with the fact that he has a mental disorder, which is clearly, I'm not making this up because it's clearly stated in the Wikipedia here. So, yeah, you could just show the guy.
It could have been a good movie because I think if you were tackling, and that's my biggest problem with the movie, like ever since we rewatched it yesterday, because a lot of the stuff is very Imtiaz, right? Sad boy, Imtiaz does that all the time. Manic Pixie Girl, Imtiaz does it all the time. But I think my biggest issue with the movie is that there's such a lack of research on mental illness. And especially in the conversations that are happening in the media right now, without like getting into it, but it's that you could have made a movie where you're informing people about how this affects someone in a very real way. But I think the way he treats mental illness is like, you know, in a bad superhero movie, where you don't know what the superpowers are. Like, you're like, I don't know what superpower he has. If he like, Imtiaz was like, he has vague disorder. We don't know what it is. It'll be convenient to what I need in the plot, which I found really offensive.
He uses the whole mental illness thing just like as a part of the plot. Like I don't think he gives a jack shit about how serious it is. Because if he did, then he would not have sent Ved to a fucking Baba. That's the bottom line.
Ah man, I mean at least Piyush Mishra is the best actor in the movie, though. I will say the Baba, I did like him, but he was, he was not needed, honestly.
Yeah, and he just, like, and he was so old and stuff, like, when Ranbir Kapoor goes back to him, and it was just so annoying to see him annoy him. Like, he was just like, go away, why are you pestering me so much? But he kept on nagging him.
He harassed an old man.
Ranbir, step away from the old man.
Yeah,
Ranbir,
dude.
Please.
He just went to an old man who doesn't even know where the fuck he is and went, please tell me the story. He's like all but grabbing him, dude. It was insane.
Yeah.
It was insane.
And at this point in the movie, Deepika realizes that she doesn't want to be with Ranbir because he's not Dawn.
Yeah, obviously.
So this is basically Deepika's agent going like, you should have cast me in Dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, that's exactly what people look for in their partners. That they should be like these fictional characters. Oh my god, are these people 15?
This is like Tumblr, man. Like literally people are like, oh, he's like that guy. I don't know, this is not even like regular
Tumblr. This is that Tumblr run by like a white woman who fantasizes about serial killers. Like, oh my god, Ted Bundy is so cute.
I wish you were a serial killer, Ranbir. Why have you to be office boy? Why can't you murder people for my fantasies?
Which he is incredibly close to doing,
dude,
you know, because
God.
After she leaves him, he's trying to show this meltdown.
Hmm.
And listen, untreated mental conditions are a serious thing, man. And you just kind of use it as a plot device to show how he's struggling because he's not with Deepika and he's not being true to himself. No, dude, he's just ill. Like, fucking help him, please. Somebody help him.
And it's comedy too, right? Because when he's like lashing out against his boss and during those presentations, he's like throwing in like what India thinks is funny words. And like, that's this toying comedy for mental illness. That's what this movie is. It's like making fun of it.
Yeah.
It's so callous, dude. I didn't enjoy that at all.
Yeah, I remember his little breakdowns at work also. It was so caricaturish and like, it was basically a mockery of mental illnesses and it was, I would honestly, at this point, after observing his work so much, I would want to meet Imtiaz Ali and I would want to ask him these questions.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Imagine being locked in a room with Imtiaz.
Oh God. it's really funny because...
I think he'll probably just convince me that I should murder my therapist.
You don't need therapist.
Murder your therapist, leave your job, sell your possessions, live in a mountain, man. What are you doing with your life?
Go to Babaji and Babaji.
Depression
will
rates
you...
drop to zero when every time Imtiaz Ali comes out of the movie, depression rates drop to zero.
One more observation. Imtiaz Ali is also that annoying stoner dude, basically.
Yeah.
Who asks you to, bro, let's go to Manali, bro. Let's go to Manali, bro. Oh my god.
Oh god.
Bro, tune hash try kiya gaya, bro. Kya mast hai, bro. Bro, you should just try it, bro. Why are you in your job, bro? To IT kyu kar raha? You know his parents are like fucking rich and that's why he's able to go on these trips.
You know, even this drug use, like I noticed in Rockstar when basically like Nargis has to like drink cheap alcohol to prove that she's fun. Like I have no idea what goes on in this man's head. This happened in Rockstar, this happened in Love Aajkal also, where they have this whole song about like where Deepika is just fucking drinking alcohol and dancing and I was like, oh my god, you don't have to... Oh, so it's almost like we're in the 70s or something.
This is an overcorrection from the Suraj Barjatya days, because Suraj Barjatya is like, alcohol is, oh my god, you're a piece of shit. Sanskar. And then like Imtiaz is like, no, if you don't drink alcohol, you're a piece of shit. And like, I want, what I want is a proper boxing match between Imtiaz Ali and Suraj Barjatya. Yes. Like I will organize this boxing match. Like, please let's make this happen.
I mean, I think Suraj will win because he has Sanskar with him and Sanskar always wins. Because even in Imtiaz movies, Sanskar always wins because even on the go, like, I was like watching bits of Cocktail. Don't ask me why. But I was watching parts of
Cocktail was also by him. Oh my god.
He wrote it. He wrote Cocktail. And like in that, Veronica's character, like Deepika's character, I thought she was actually pretty good in it. But like her character is essentially like, hey, I'm this girl that's like open about my sex life. I'll drink. I'll do what I want. I don't want to get married. And then she's also like, but I want acceptance of your mom. So I will become Sanskar.
Yeah. And basically the messaging of that film was that if you're anything like Deepika, you don't deserve love.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch, dude.
Like, that's the messaging.
And if you're like Diana Penty, then you will get love. So that's a name I haven't said in a while. But yeah.
Yeah, now... Ranbir is kind of having this mental breakdown and he gets thrown out of his job and he becomes like this... Okay, this is one other issue I have with movies, right? So, Ranbir is just sitting at this random dhaba and he starts like blabbering shit. And the extra of every movie knows that he's a protagonist. So, they all just start smiling and gather around him. If I try randomly saying shit at a dhaba, I'll get kicked out.
Yeah. Okay? Like, hey, chup kar, bhencho. Like, leave.
Yeah. Like, why does this happen? Why is everyone so fucking invested in the protagonist?
Yeah, and he's just saying nonsense.
I think he was talking to the auto driver or something, no? Like, from what I remember.
Yeah. Yeah,
there was a scene where he's talking to the auto driver, and there's a scene where he's just lying at the dhaba and he just randomly starts spouting shit.
And people gather around him.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be like the grassroots movement of him becoming a storyteller, because this movie is about Imtiaz.
Yeah, it really is.
Clear at the end of the movie. My God. At the end of the movie, you're going to know why. Anyway, so he loses a job and he goes back to his father. Okay, I will say.
Yeah.
The scenes with his dad, they kind of maybe hit too close home for me.
I think that's what made me cry when I saw it the first time, is all the dad stuff. Because I think Imtiaz, if anything, he does know how a father and son interact pretty well. That's
if nothing else.
If nothing else, yeah. It was brutal.
Yeah, I think he goes back to his family and he basically has a breakdown, no?
He does.
Oh God! Oh, Dad, why would you make me study math?
Dad, why Sorry. Why did you do that?
Why did you do
that?
Why?
Yes, you okay, man? You okay?
No. yeah, because you've shown through flashbacks also during the movie that he didn't want to do engineering. Dad.
But even and, that is so, like, dramatic. It's super dramatic. Like, I know a lot of people who don't want to do engineering, but it's not real. None of it is, creative liberty. Woohoo.
I don't want to make light of it either, because there is a very big suicide issue among students who don't want to do this kind of stuff. But he does portray the dad relationship pretty well, which is what I'll give him that, if nothing else.
Yeah. But one thing I will say is some people maybe should have done engineering like Imtiaz. Maybe some people should have stuck to engineering and then we wouldn't have had all this. I don't know. I'm projecting the fact that I think that this movie is about Imtiaz's life and how he became a storyteller. So it's so insane that
somehow he manages to make every film about himself.
Yeah.
Like that's my takeaway from every film. Like, oh, this movie is about this dude.
The tagline of this movie is, why always the same story? Which I don't know if he did intentionally. But I was like, yeah, Imtiaz, why the fuck is it the same story every time? And why are you the protagonist?
A few days back, somebody told me that even like Jab Harry Met Sejal is like this only. And I was so surprised because I remember watching the trailer and it seemed nothing like it. But I don't know. Like,
eventually, it's all the same. Eventually,
wait, are you trying to tell me Sejal didn't watch When Harry Met Sejal?
Yeah.
Wow, yes. So new.
New joke.
No one has ever made that joke before.
No one's ever made that joke. That's why we're so funny.
this joke, like, even like, so basically when this, just fun fact, when this movie had, like the trailer had come out, like I was getting spammed by the trailer and I found it like really annoying. So I was half asleep and my bua had sent it on WhatsApp, like, oh, Shah Rukh Khan, go work. And I was like, well, what the fuck is this shit? And I used to use Twitter at that time. So I just randomly tweeted to Shah Rukh Khan. And then I woke up and he had retweeted it with some fuck all joke and it was just everywhere. And I got so...
You're not trying to tell me Harry retweeted Sejal.
Yeah, that was basically...
When Harry retweeted Sejal. That's great.
That's a great tagline.
Yeah, don't watch it.
When Imtiaz eventually remakes the movie, it's going to be called When Harry Retweeted Sejal.
Yes.
Yeah, to appeal to the youth.
The youth. Because the youth are on Twitter, okay? I know.
I'm pretty sure that Imtiaz Ali thinks that young people, they use like hashtags when they talk.
Oh, like, no, he's going to do that.
In real life. I'm pretty sure that's what he thinks.
Boomer shit.
This is like, and that's another trope of Imtiaz movies, is that I think it started in Love Aajkal. I don't know if it started in Jab We Met, but all the characters speak in half sentences, like half finished sentences. And that's supposed to be like edgy and quirky. Like, I'm never going to complete my thought because I'm so frazzled. So a lot of monologues from Saif in Love Aajkal to Deepika in this one, to even Shah Rukh Khan and Harry Met Sejal. It's just like the same type of dialogue that worked in 2009. Okay. It's been 11 years since then.
What is it exactly? Like, I'm not getting it.
Like, he always says, like, mujhe aisa lagta tha ki, lekin fir tumne...
And then pause, yeah.
Oh God.
Main actually, and then, like, it's... But you're not saying anything. Like, you're not saying anything. You're just... It's not cool to fuck up the dialogue. Like that.
Oh, yes. This is there in Love Aajkal too as well.
Yeah.
Like, when basically says that, tum mujhe tang karne lage ho.
Oh God. I've watched a lot of cringe in my life, man, but this fucking takes the cake.
Yeah, at least Tamasha is not Love Aajkal is what I'll say.
Yeah, we can give it that. But even like that film was, so basically what he did was, okay, this, I think it, a lot of it is sadistic because pairing up like Deepika and Ranbir and basically asking them to cry. And then, we have this rumored couple. How about I just put them in one film and cash on it?
Yeah.
Because that's what I think his intention was. I remember this Coffee with Karan episode had come out where, like, Farah Ali Khan said something about Karthik Karan or whatever. And then, like, I guess, like, a few days later, Imtiaz just announced.
Oh, God.
Yes, they are acting.
What came first, though? Was it Sarah planting that perfectly, or was it Imtiaz watching Coffee with Karan and then saying, what came first? That's the question, really. That no one should care about because fuck that movie. It's so bad.
And Imtiaz, that's basically Imtiaz saying, I'm a bad director. Please bring your own chemistry.
Please bring chemistry to the room.
See, it's another example of like him actually being a bad director. And and this time it didn't work because these people were like really bad in the film apparently.
Oh God. And like, look, I hate Karthik Aaryan's acting, okay? Genuinely, probably my least favorite actor, right? But Sara Ali Khan is brutal in it. And I don't know if like all of the blame is on her, but my God, like some of the dialogue also is... Really, he's really fallen off even more so than he was in Tamasha. Like, Tamasha, the dialogue's already cringy. By the time you get to Love Aajkal, it's awful.
And now we get to the point in the movie where, you know, the whole don't go to therapy, go to the Baba scene happens.
Yeah.
Where
lovely.
He harasses this poor old man. And like, I just feel so bad. This is the only time I felt anything in this movie.
Yeah, I was like, leave him alone.
Just leave him alone, man.
Fuck.
Yeah, he was like really old, no, by that time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was like ancient by the time he got
there. Yeah, he was ancient.
He's so fucking deluded too because he goes back to the same spot expecting that guy to be there, even though he was only there when he was a child. Like, first he goes back to the fucking storytelling spot. I was like, how the fuck is he going to be there? It's been 20 years.
Which really begs the question, how old is Ranbir supposed to be in all of these movies? Because he's been
14 years old.
He's been 27 for around a decade and a half.
Yeah, it's brutal. I don't know what. Yeah, he's the man child. That's his age. His age
he's
is
a
actually,
baby.
Yeah, he's a baby. Oh boy. Then we get to the this is the part that I remember got to me in the theater when I saw it, was the speech to the dad. Looking back, it did nothing. It did nothing to me.
If you give that speech to your dad, this is the most unrealistic part of the movie. In a movie with so much shit in it, this is the most unrealistic part. Because if that's how you're going to approach your dad to talk about your future and your dreams, he is going to kick you out.
Yeah, he'd be like, hey, nikal. Nahi, mereko nahi chahiye. Ye sab. I'm not going
to he basically goes to him and just tells him to like, that, oh, you have fucked my life. And I just put the blame on you. I don't take any.
But in story format. In story format.
Yeah.
Like,
yes, I remember.
Man, looking back, the story's so dumb too because it's like, pehle aap paida ho, pehle dadaji paida hue, fir aap paida hue, then I came out. He's like, bro, I know how biology works, okay?
Oh God. Oh my God. Insane.
It is like I understand what got to me because at the time it was like he was talking about the rat race and, you know, don't get caught in this and all this kind of, I get it, but it's very, this really is, because Yashasvi brought this point up, this really is we live in a society, the movie, like this is just like, look at us in society, look at our problems.
Like we know about these problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's pointing out his own privilege, and he's not like, he says, you know, Dadaji came, set up a business. You came, you enhanced the business. Now I also have this business, but I couldn't follow my dreams. I'm like, yeah. Bro, are you listening to us? Are you hearing yourself right now?
It's it's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. And look, the ending is just like, this is where it ends, right? Because basically he just goes back to Deepika. And Deepika's like, yeah, cool, bro. I've been in Tokyo. So, cool. We'll now be together.
He goes to Tokyo. Wait, what?
Yeah.
He goes to Tokyo and pretends to be Dawn. And that's the satisfying culmination. That's the satisfying culmination of this entire shit show, is that he goes back to being that cringy character he was for 1 week in Corsica.
Yeah.
And they have to live their whole life like that.
They're poor kids. They're poor kids, dude.
Oh my god, yeah. They must, the kids would think that their parents are junkies.
Or the kids will become the kids will become like this because that's all they know. And then they'll get bullied in school. This is
just imagine.
Oh my god.
I think that it's high time like we have a, you know, like 5 years later for Tamasha. Like basically how both of them have ended up in a nut house, and this is just bad. His dad's business, it doesn't exist anymore because he has spent all his money on his son. I think we do need
him. He's cosplaying as Dawn for his whole life, yeah.
But like, Yashasvi, you were talking about how this is about Imtiaz.
Oh, this ending. Let's talk about this ending, because the end of the movie is literally him on stage, okay, after this stupid play that he puts on, which makes no sense. And everyone is clapping for him, okay? And he's just looking so sincere and like, thank you, this is my work of art. And you know, Imtiaz is like, you know what? I'm going to do that when I win my Oscar.
Yeah.
Like, Imtiaz, you're not coming anywhere near that, please.
Imtiaz really wants that Oscar.
And everyone's clapping for him. So he's like, he's not going to get this in real life. So movie maker dalte hai. I'll get my own critical acclaim in my own movie.
You know the movie's not worked when you have to give yourself an award at the end of the movie to let people know that it was good. By the way, this movie was good. Look, everyone's clapping. You also clap.
This movie essentially, like if you think about it objectively, what I don't understand is that it sort of like checks all the boxes of like, if you have to present like a mainstream film, we have this lost boy and we have this manic pixie girl, and both of them find love with each other, and this film is about passion. Oh, we also have amazing lead cast who were also exes. But the movie didn't do well. That's what surprises me. Like, what went wrong if you think about it objectively?
I think objectively, because I was also thinking about this as well. Like, why didn't this do well? Just on a... Because there's a lot of shit movies that do well, right? Like, so what was... And like you said, the packaging is perfect. But I think there was a Ranbir fatigue and an Imtiaz fatigue at the same time. Like, people had seen a lot of Imtiaz movies at this point, and a lot of Ranbir playing the same character. And this is also the same year where Ranbir came out with two other movies, which had, like, mixed success. Like, Bombay Velvet was a huge flop. And also, what is that movie? Ae Dil Hai Mushkil. And Tamasha comes at the back end of that. So I think people are just like, oh God, Ranbir, Jesus.
Stop tired of you, I think Ae Dil Hai Mushkil also didn't do well.
It did decent. Was like his best performing movie of the year. But Bombay Velvet was a disaster, like one of the biggest flops ever. And Tamasha was just kind of, I think people just didn't even acknowledge that it got made. You know, like everyone's like, oh, I guess that's Tamasha. Yeah.
But it does have this kind of cult following that you see. Yeah. Because everyone, like, people who like Tamasha really like Tamasha.
It's the Rick and Morty. It's the Rick and Morty of fandoms.
It's exactly that. It's very deep. Yeah.
They try to say that you don't understand the movie.
I have this person on my Instagram, and he is a Tamasha fanboy. And he puts up, like, these videos of him working out. And he has Tamasha's music playing in the background. I'm like, they don't even match.
Yeah. I'd cry to that music. That's some sad boy music for sure. But why?
But you don't work out. Yeah. Like, you're fucking lifting weights and all. So that's the idea of an average Tamasha fanboy or a fangirl in my head.
Just lifts working
weights
out.
Sadly.
Yeah, like even when I'm lifting weights, I'm sad. This is not sweat. These are my tears.
I'm always sad. Yeah, it's weird. Of all Imtiaz's movies, because I think this is the end of Imtiaz's fandom run, because up till this point, I think there was still a lot of Imtiaz fans. And I think this movie also got a cult following. But if you go after this movie, it kind of just dies. Because it's Jabari Met Sejal, and then it's Love Aajkal 2.
Love Aajkal 2. Yeah,
so it's pretty much done. Like, no one really can defend those movies. Even though I did see some comments going like, you just didn't get Love Aajkal. I remember when we did the Love Aajkal episode. Someone said, you just didn't get the movie. I was like, there was no movie to get. Where is the movie?
I don't think Imtiaz got this movie.
You know, funnily enough, so like I work in Andheri, okay, and so we were just down for a smoke break, and I just see like randomly, like outside Dulali, like this was I think like a week later after like Love Aajkal 2 release, and Imtiaz Ali was just standing like very sadly outside Dulali, and I couldn't make sense of it, like what? But yeah.
I'd walk up to him and I'd say, yeah, I'd just say like, listen, you won't be so sad if you made better movies, man.
Yeah, I think he's become the sad boy he so wanted to be. I think he's achieved that. I think even now, like in his head, he must be thinking, oh no, this is my rock star moment. I have gotten my heart broken. Now I'll rule the world.
Abhi dard se...
ab dard se picture niklegi. That's
the premise of Rockstar. Premise of Rockstar he will use in real life.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's how his brain functions.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of glad that it functions in a rom-com or a, you know, sad boy movie kind of way. Can you imagine if he was like that with horror movies? He'd just be like, life only makes sense when people are getting killed.
Oh my god, I want Imtiaz to do a horror movie now. I just want to take every Ranbir Kapoor character and make that the villain of the movie. Like the protagonist in the movie will be a woman that has to kill all the Ranbir Kapoors in Imtiaz Ali movies.
You know, if he actually does make it, it'll be like a parody sketch only. Basically like what Karan Johar did with that ghost story.
Oh, that was so bad.
Like, you would think it's a parody of sorts, is Karan Johar made a horror movie? But that's...
He watched
that's
one horror movie. Fucking hell. He watched one horror movie and he was like, yeah, picture. It is like this only, there is a big mansion, there is a booth, and that is the movie.
Dude, I was wedding. They show like a full-fledged wedding and whatnot, and I was like, oh my god, this is a sketch in itself. This is not a film.
Oh,
oh god, but that brings us to the end of the tamasha that was this movie.
Yes.
And you know what, when I initially watched it, I had no thoughts on it, like it kind of just washed over me, but upon rewatching it, I still don't get why it has the kind of following it does.
Yeah.
But if Sejal, if you were face to face with a tamasha fan right now and he heard this entire podcast, he's like, Sejal, you are wrong, you just didn't get the movie, what would you say to him?
I would just probably move on. I would choose not to argue with a tamasha fanboy.
Yeah,
fan
that's stuff. Yeah.
Because I can't argue with somebody who believes that going to a Baba was like a much more viable option than seeing a therapist. I can't argue with a person like that.
You know that Drake meme where he's like approves of one, disapproves of one. So
yeah,
that's Ranbir Kapoor. Like that's what he literally does in the film. It's amazing.
Yeah, if a tamasha fanboy came up to me, I'd be like, "Yar, engineering kar le."
Thank you so much for coming on, Sejal. This was great. You guys can follow her on Instagram. It's a really nice page.
It's a fantastic
and,
page. Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's really funny. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, guys, for inviting.